Good morning. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, the Pacific Affiliates Coordinator. I think most of you know me. For those of you who don't, I work out of New York City. I'm going to read the first part of my presentation because I have a problem with keeping to the time limit, and I'd like to make sure there's enough time for discussion. So I apologize for the formality of it, but I'm going to start this way. In my work with the Affiliates Program, I've been pleased to be able to broaden Pacifica's reach and message to communities outside of our five stations' listening areas. Today we have a network of 131 affiliate stations. The 131st station affiliated yesterday during the meeting, which is Lewis and Clark College in Idaho. And it's a college station. Our affiliates are mostly in the United States, spanning from Florida to Maine, Alaska to Hawaii. We have one Canadian affiliate in close to Vancouver. And we have two African affiliates, a Central American affiliate in Costa Rica, and El Salvador. And we have the potential for many more relationships in the USA and abroad. Most of these stations share similar goals and needs with us. They offer us an additional wealth of skilled and knowledgeable community radio people who see Pacifica's success as important to them and the free media agenda that they share with us. It has been my pleasure to generate income for Pacifica. Currently, the affiliates program is projected to provide a gross income of between $257,000 to $260,000 in FY09, with a net income of between $100,000 to $150,000, depending on expenses and contract fulfillment. Income so far continues upward growth. I've sent around a simple graph charting that growth for you to look at. More stations than usual paid their fees in full at the beginning of FY09, since affiliates are aware of Pacifica's dire financial circumstances. So far, approximately $130,000 has been paid to the national office from affiliate fees. Many affiliates have traditionally paid quarterly because they themselves are on tight budgets, so that's why it doesn't, it comes in throughout the year. Last summer, numerous affiliates agreed to pay fee increases despite their own financial hardships, which parallel our own Pacifica stations. This was because of their awareness of Pacifica's need. Affiliate agreements are negotiated every summer, so this discussion starts happening every year around June and continues up through the end of the fiscal year in September. Together with potential new affiliates who are currently considering joining, projected gross income for FY09 has grown by approximately $35,000 to $40,000. Affiliate income contributes to paying for 1/6 of the cost of Democracy Now!, the PRSS satellite, which is the satellite system that we use to get Democracy Now! To put it on our satellite system, Free Speech Radio News, and AudioPort, which is our internet distribution system. This is the same amount that Pacifica stations are normally asked to pay. The ever-expanding network of affiliate stations raises numerous possibilities for evolving partnerships. I was happy to hear Brian's theme of partnerships because I think it very well matches the message I'd like to convey today to you. We do have a tremendous possibility for partnerships and engaging with our affiliates in mutual support, especially during difficult times and times of opportunity, I must say. This is a tremendous moment of opportunity politically for us. Our network's combined organizational, intellectual, and marketing strength is significant, as well as the fact that together we collectively own a sizable national market now. We have real opportunity to leverage our network's collective fundraising experience, technical knowledge, buying power, selling power, and political power if we collaborate with the other stations that are in our network. Below are some of Pacifica's current issues and concerns in the areas of the affiliate program. The termination of Doug George, who was the affiliate program's only administrative assistant in September, has greatly impaired management of the program, its operation. This is also at a time with reduction in national staff that the responsibilities for national coordination have increased for myself and John and any other national staff. My work does not only involve working with affiliates. I spend a significant amount of time doing coordination for Pacifica on a national level, working with many producers and Pacifica staff, and also developing infrastructure. And I, together with the affiliates, produce a weekly national program for Pacifica. The affiliates program has not been well integrated into Pacifica's planning process in recent times. The report that the general managers will submit today has not involved any input from the affiliates program. The program's potential for marketing Pacifica has not been utilized at a time when it is very much needed. There are public relations challenges that inevitably occur in the absence of a coordinated effort for us to meet the world with our own marketing image. What happens when you don't put out your own message is others begin to define us instead of us defining ourselves, which is never a good thing. Growing options and alternative sources for obtaining radio programs is making today's market a much more difficult market for selling programs. And particularly with the onset of the Obama administration and the appointment of the new acting head of the FCC, Mr. Copps, the perception of a hostile environment and a need to hang together has greatly changed and has created possibilities for alternative networks that can appear to be more user-friendly than Pacifica. The audio port is an extremely important piece of infrastructure that all of the affiliates use, as well as the Pacifica stations. It is severely outdated. It is not functioning in ways that is user-friendly for the affiliates. And we have been promising them now for 5 years to finish the upgrade of the audio port, and it is a direly needed. We just need to do it as soon as possible. And finally, without the ability to budget my program at all, I have really no ability to plan or to accurately report the expenses of the program. So having said all that, I just wanted to express why these are some of the reasons why it's important to bring sustaining the affiliates program into focus, and so that the affiliates do not end up turning elsewhere for other opportunities. Losing our network at this point would be missing an incredibly valuable opportunity that we possess at this point. The Obama campaign recently demonstrated once again what powerful results community organizing can achieve. We, too, are in a position to achieve results like that. We have the network to do it. We really can achieve surprising economic and political results if we choose to do so at this point. I'm committed to work with others to develop concrete, practical, and cost-effective ways to promote Pacifica, to leverage our network for an exciting and sustainable future. And the affiliate program does not incur cost to Pacifica, but it does it creates income, but it does need support, and it needs some of the financial resources it generates in order to continue successfully to grow and to develop and to bring in more income. I hope that we can attend to this so we can review and discuss it as part of our future recovery plans. Thank you.
Afia? Nia?
Second.
Afia first and then Nia.
Has there been any assessment or estimate as to the cost of upgrading audio port, and do you have a sense of what kind of return we might expect on such an investment?
The initial cost was estimated about $5,000. I think at this point, due to time and circumstances, I would estimate at this point it's a $10,000 project to finish. That's because costs have gone up for code writers. And also, we now have we don't have P. Caracas on staff, so there is no project management. So that would have to be resolved somehow. So I think at this point we're looking at maybe about $10,000.
So what kind of return?
I think the return would be very large. It's hard to put a number on it, but it would definitely pay off in terms of retention of affiliates. I think frustration with the AudioPort now is kind of reaching critical mass, and I think upgrading the facility will affect retention. I also, the way the new AudioPort, it also will bring in new clients, because the AudioPort has become, along with Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News, one of the main reasons people affiliate with us. It's a highly desired and branded piece of infrastructure by now. The other thing that is that the new way we're planning to do the AudioPort creates new opportunities for have clients. And one of the main reasons, the main ways to do this is that we get regularly requests from various types of networks of people and stations that want to work with each other in discrete sections of the AudioPort. In other words, they don't necessarily want to sign up to the AudioPort, but they want to use the infrastructure to network with themselves. Regional networks are on the rise. That's a good thing. And if Pacifica can be perceived as enabling that, we can ride that wave. We can get clients to use that infrastructure. That's actually a very marketable thing. What are the returns? I think the returns would be very large. AudioPort is turning out to be a more successful piece of infrastructure than the PRX website, which is NPR's website. And the main reason for this is that stations have discovered that when they put their shows into AudioPort, they actually get taken and put on the air, whereas with PRX, they're not. The main reason for that is AudioPort is connected to a network. It is connected to a functioning network that relates to each other, that works with each other, and that is what makes all the difference in the world. So it makes it a much more desired facility.
Nia, then Jamie, and then Rico.
Okay. Thanks for your report, Ursula. The WOJB, that's on a reservation?
Yes.
Okay. I have probably a multi-part question. The reason I'm asking this is nothing personal, just to let you know, but it's quite troubling to me, and I think it's my responsibility as the director. Former general manager of things, Lori Tugumer, was there, and she wrote an email to all of us saying that somehow there was a comment with the new general manager saying that there's, and I quote, that the programming is too native. What are the criteria for acquiring these affiliates and making sure that they are mission compliant, to make sure that we don't have that type of sentiment about one of our affiliate stations for the Pacifica Foundation?
Well,
could we get a reference to?
You said there was an email that, she said there was an email that was sent to all of us. Could we get a reference?
I'll take that as a point of information and a request for the email to be sent around.
It was sent December 28 at 7:33 p.m., addressed to Sherry Gendelman, Donna Neiman, ccpnb@pacifica.org.
So we should all have it.
Okay. Well, in our relationship with our affiliates, we have a respectful client relationship with them. One of the foundations of that is that they do not, we do not interfere with their local functions. If it became understood that Pacifica was going to start to tell its affiliates how to behave, our network would collapse very quickly. So we are not, I will be honest with you, I have gotten many calls and letters from that part of the country regarding the situation at WOJB for quite a while. And out of respect to the integrity of that station, its own local control, and respect to Ms. Taguma and whoever else is heading that station, I have consistently said that it is not Pacifica's role to police the thought and the local internal functions of our affiliates. So we don't have a, you know, a litmus test of the political functionings of a station. And in my making that clear to the affiliates is fundamental to our client relations.
George, does it follow up, a quick follow up? So you're saying that in acquiring these, that there are no criteria to say this is what the Pacifica Foundation stands for, this is our mission, they're not familiar with that?
Well, I mean, people that affiliate with us are familiar with us. That's why they affiliate with us.
With the mission.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I don't think it's, you know, an unusual, I mean, look at the way we function as Pacifica. There are all sorts of things that happen. There just are. And people have a lot of opinions. And if Pacifica began to police that at all the local stations, we would lose our clients because there's just no way for us to police that. I have not yet had any situations in the network where I felt that a station was at odds with our mission in general, but the intricacies of their local management is beyond the scope of what I can deal with, and I make that clear.
Jamie, Rico, and then Leslie.
Yes, thanks, Ursula, for your for this informative and heartening presentation. I'm very pleased to see that the revenues are going up for the affiliates program, which actually I'm not that familiar with it, so I need to learn more. Basically, my question was already asked by Afia about upgrading audio port. It does sound that if it takes $10,000, which is, you know, what would that be? 5% of your annual revenues. Is that correct, if I did the math right?
Yeah, less than.
We should be able to I mean, I would support doing that. It does sound like it's a wonderful tool and well within the ideal Pacifica way of doing things of making programming available and then other people can take it to really spread the best programming around in a very webby way. All right, thanks.
Yeah, let me explain one of the main points of contention regarding the audio port. A lot of our affiliates don't have large staff. In fact, many of them are completely volunteer-based. And so they automate. They don't always have people in the station. You cannot automate the audio port right now. It's a big problem. And that has to do with the fact that when the audio port was made, coding did not exist yet to deal with passwords and automation. Today we have that ability. We just haven't written it into the audio port.
So when you say automate, you would say the person could punch in, say, at 10 p.m. tonight, we'll take this?
Yeah. It's basically to podcast the audio port. Stations want to be able to program their equipment to podcast so that they don't have to be there.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Rico.
Yeah. Thank you, Ursula, for your report. I wanted to piggyback off of Effa said that about the return. You said that it would be a great return, and you kept saying it would be a great return. But worst-case scenario, what would you just guess would the return be on that $10,000?
Well, you mean like in the first year, or in what context are you
asking?
Well,
why don't we do that? Why don't we say in a year, just to give us some type of scope of what we're talking about?
Well, okay. Let me put it this way. Right now, what you see here is a steady growth pattern.
Right.
And this is really without any real marketing budget, mm-hmm. And this is during, you know, difficult economic times. So this is clearly what you would. I mean, it's not obviously it's not a huge amount of money, but we are seeing a steady growth pattern mm-hmm. and a stable business because it is a business. First of all, I'm saying that if we don't do something about the audio port, we're going to lose this for starters. So right now we're increasing our revenues at an average of maybe 10% a year right now. Sometimes it's bigger, but right now because we're in a higher range, we're at about a 10% increase rate per year. I think that rate can easily continue. Can it increase? Yes, I think it could increase. I think we could go for 20% next year.
So let me say, this 10,000 could, in the course of a couple of years, pay for itself two or three times.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that out. So, and I also want to just make a quick comment about the too much native for some people. That is the one group that I think is least represented. And if anything is going to be too much, I'm glad to hear that it's too much native. Because. And now, the last thing was, you said that you didn't have a way of auditing it. Could you explain that?
Automating it.
Automating
it, okay. Right. Which is what we were talking about before. I do want to, I don't know if very many of you are aware of WOJB. It's really one of our oldest affiliates. It goes back to at least 1989. I don't have records past then. So they're an old member of the family, and really they're one of two of our native affiliates, and that's an area we would really like to develop in the future.
Leslie.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ursula, for your comments. First of all, this is a beautiful statement.
Thank you.
Very encouraging. What I don't know here is how much of this is profit and how much flips back into supporting this program. And that would be one of my questions to you. What is the net back to Pacifica after your expenses? And my second question is perhaps more of a comment. Again, working with what Nia said, I hear your concerns about not wanting to monitor the affiliates, but for instance, are we, Pacifica, putting our mission out there to the affiliates? Is it on the audio port, for instance, on the sign-in screen? You say they're aware of our mission. Can we put it in their face at all times?
That's a good idea.
Okay.
We'll put it on the sign, the login page. That's a good idea.
Thank you.
Thank you. In terms of net income, it's hard for me to say that because I don't have any access to the budget process. My estimation, based on how things have been going this year, is that I think it should be about $100,000 to $150,000 net. Are there resources going into the program right now? Practically none. I mean, my trip here was paid. I sincerely hope I'll be able to go to the NFCB conference this year because it's really our primary time to talk with affiliates. Other than that, there is no investment. My salary's being paid. I pay for all the expenses of running the program. I pay all the utilities, internet, equipment, all of that, telephone. So there is no other. There is right now. There's no other expense. If you would ask me what to spend money on first, absolutely to bring the assistant back. It's I don't know if it's really a tenable situation in the long run without assistance.
An assistant before the audio port?
No. The audio port, I think, is fundamental.
Thank you.
Grace. Then David, then Susan.
Ursula, I want to tell you that I've always been supportive of the affiliates network, and I really, really appreciate, all of us appreciate your work. I want to also say on a personal level that in a couple of vacations that my husband Ken and I took, one in particular where we were driving around the northwest, Seattle or Oregon, Montana area, you know, we had this sudden realization, hey, no KPFK, no Pacifica. And so we started to hunt the dial for some sort of progressive radio, because when you're taking long drives, radio becomes really, really important. And the same thing with just east of here or central California. And we were so relieved to be able to tune in to a few Pacifica affiliates. I mean, it's so important to get a progressive message out to areas that only have country music and Christian talk radio and Rush Limbaugh. I mean, it's just so important to reach those people, not just the people, at our major stations. I wanted to ask you how you think that a greater collaboration between the affiliate network and program and the management of Pacifica and the stations can be a really a boost for the affiliates and for the five stations and Pacifica in general.
Well, I think in the area of program collaboration, we're doing very, very well. The audio port changed the world as we know it. People are collaborating. Whenever we do national specials, we involve affiliates, and they make significant contributions to our programming. So I think in that area, we're doing really well. It's a very exciting, vibrant world. In the other area, I think right now the thing that everybody shares most in common in the network besides programming is economic problems. I think it's a common need that everybody shares. And I sincerely, you know, want to express how much potential we have. Because we are not a network of five stations. We're a network of 131 stations. That size gives us tremendous potential in the area of collective resources and knowledge and support. It gives us tremendous potential in terms of buying power into bringing down prices because we could be a large, we have the ability to order large. And we also own a collective market. And that has a number of implications in terms of the ability to raise revenue. And there's just a tremendous opportunity there.
David?
Thank you.
Ursula, I want to thank you for your work with the affiliates.
Thank you, David.
I've worked with you for a number of years now, and it's a tireless job, and you've really kind of hung it all together, this patchwork across the country. I've worked with you in the summers trying to get new licenses applied for. It's just essential. I can't tell you how, the feedback that I've gotten from the affiliates before I came here today is that to stress to the board how important the affiliate network is, to stress that you're not five stations, you're 130 stations. And we look to you, we look to this board for example, direction, programming. And AudioPort is so essential to the network. And when you ask about return, you know, you can measure return monetarily or you can measure return in other ways. And AudioPort's return is not monetarily. It strengthens this network. And right now, it's actually not meeting its potential by a long shot because the development of the Internet and how far these other, you know, networks are connecting up, people are finding other ways to send information back and forth. We need the upgrade is very essential, and that's the biggest feedback I got from the affiliates. I had a question for you. Is it essential for you to have an assistant for the continuation of Sprouts?
No, I don't think essential is the right word. I think what's essential is keeping track of all the data. Part of the work of the affiliates program is an unbelievable amount of information that has to be kept under control. Otherwise, we just lose control of things. That is the main service that Doug did, was manage that. I also am not a technical genius. I'm of the generation that's on the learning curve. Doug is of the other generation. Between Doug and Pete, I had a technical support system. Now there is none. And so in those areas, it's more crucial. It's crucial for keeping the website alive and fresh, which is I want to thank you for what you said about the audio port and maybe return to this for a minute in terms of returns. One of the reasons you're seeing a steady growth so far in the affiliates program is because in the work I do, my strategy for getting income follows a pretty standard strategy, which is 90% marketing, 10% sales. That's how I operate. So 90% of what I do goes into marketing. That is how you build a stable business in terms of income. And so the marketing value of AudioPort is enormous. So in other words, the way the affiliate program is set up right now is that I would say at least 80% of the sales I actually do are people that call me. And that's the kind of situation you want to create, where people are calling you instead of you cold calling people.
Is a follow-up, was Doug full-time?
No, he was part-time.
And what was the amount budgeted for that?
I think he was about $30,000 a year. I think that's what he was.
Okay. Yeah. I know every time I talk to you, he was there. So.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, well, he did a lot of volunteer work too. But I think it was about a $30,000.
Yeah. Susan, then Sherry, and then we'll be out of time.
Thank you. Yes, first of all, grateful to the affiliates, and that's a very important connection, and I know that those of us at the stations, we're dealing with so many problems, we lose kind of sight of what that asset is, and this is obviously a wonderful revenue growth chart, which I think any of us at stations would be really excited about. And apparently, I mean, I imagine that the net income has increased over time because you've cut back on costs. I am in the camp of people who believe that our current circumstances are very bad. And so every bit of cost austerity is something that I think needs to be weighed carefully. If there's $10,000 and it's across 100 plus affiliates, that's $100 each. So it would seem to me that that is a doable revenue goal, but I'd like to understand it in the context of the overall finances. I also think that both with the affiliates and with archives that there may be specific grant opportunities, and that there's kind of a mutual collaboration grant and also partnerships and so forth. So I would like to see us, I mean, I imagine you've explored that to some extent, but I think that there's more we can do.
Sherry.
Yes. I'm hoping that when the finance report, the hour that's devoted to the network finances, we can, in fact, learn what the actual net income of the archives are so that the affiliates and the board will know what the actuals are as opposed to the chart, which is an estimate of gross income. Also, the representative from WOJB, or our former, actually only Native American on this board, Lord Tagum, is here, and I hope during public comment she can shed some light on the comments raised by the by Nia from WBAI. Also, Ursula, I'm curious about whether or not you were the person who directed the election for the affiliates representatives to the PNB?
No, I was not.
Okay. So did you have, you had no relationship to the process at all that disseminated information and requested candidates to run for the?
Normally, I send out the notice to the affiliates that, you know, to remind them. But I think this year AFIA did it, so I did not, if I remember correctly. I think that's what happened. You sent out an email, and so I did not do it this year.
Okay.
When other than that, I had no significant. No, this year I really had very little to do with it.
So you didn't participate at all in any oversight about that?
No.
Okay.
No.
No, we're out of time for this. We're going to take a 10-minute break.
Excuse me. I'm not sure it's a matter of personal privilege. I guess it would be since that my name were called, but certainly as a matter of providing information.
Go ahead.
And that is that in addition to myself, Wendy and Jack Van Aken also distributed information in order to make sure that all as many possible lists were used to provide, to put out information. So it was not only, it was more publicized this time than at any other time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. George, if I can just have one more second, there is something I'd like to say in closing. It has really been an honor for me to be able to work for Pacifica and to uphold the tradition. And in closing this presentation, I would like to acknowledge the many, many staff people throughout this network, both at stations and at Pacifica National, who have lost their jobs and who, after, you know, sincere and good work, and I would just like to acknowledge them. Thank you.
So we'll take a 10-minute break. Please come back by 25 to 11, and we'll have the general manager's report at that time.